Well, a story you've been hearing about in the World Report this morning. It's a decades-old environmental disaster that continues to harm people here in northwestern Ontario. Mercury, dumped by a pulp mill in Dryden into the English Wabagoon River system, poisoned the people at Grassy Narrows and Wabsamung First Nations. It took a team of Japanese researchers to push the government to act on the health effects of 40 years ago. And they've continued to visit the communities to share their research. Last week, the Japanese doctors were in Grassy Narrows again to pass on their knowledge with representatives from the Mercury Disability Board. It's an organization set up to help people suffering from mercury poisoning. The CBC's Jody Porter sat down with board chair Margaret Wanlon during a break in the meeting at Grassy Narrows. Here's part of their conversation.
The board has a series of criteria that were developed in the early days to measure different kinds of impacts. And the way it was set up, it was to look at how will this impact a person in conducting their traditional life. So would a person be able to fish? Would they be able to hunt? Would they be able to use a chainsaw in their work to get firewood for their family? So it's a functional assessment. And how does mercury affect the functioning of a person? And also additionally, whereas the Japanese system requires some kind of proof or evidence that the person was in an area at a time when there was a high concentration of mercury, the Ontario system looks at symptoms consistent with mercury.
What's the ratio of people, or how would you quantify the number of people who apply for disability payments?
So a few relevant statistics. Yeah. So since the board began, 910 adults have applied, and that's from Grassy Narrows and Wabsamung. Of those, 243 have received benefits, so that's 27%. Children, there have been 137 initial applications of children, and of those, 44 have received a benefit, or 32%.
I'm just thinking about the criteria. You mentioned about could you use a chainsaw, could you fish, could you hunt. How are you applying that to kids?
The initial criteria for children were cerebral palsy and mental retardation. So medical science has a way of measuring those things. But we did want to have more specific criteria, so we have gone to using a criteria set quite similar to the adults.
The literature review that made news this summer talked about the need for ongoing research. How might the Disability Board be involved in that?
The board would love to see new research done and would certainly use any new research we could find in the work. The board itself can't commission research, but we would be happy to work with any researchers who are interested in looking at this population and looking at these issues.
And what about this Japanese research? How does it factor in?
We certainly make use of that as well. We do use the findings of the Japanese. It's a different system, and we are trying to learn more about the Japanese government system. So this set of researchers are trying to influence how the government of Japan operates its compensation system. So we're trying to learn more about the Japanese government system and see how that compares with the Canadian system and see if we have any gaps or any issues. There's certainly large numbers of people in Japan who were affected, and so they have a very much larger system than what we have here.
I just want to go back to that ratio, that 27% of people who apply for compensation are accepted through the Disability Board. Mm-hmm. How acceptable is that to you as the chair of the board?
Well, because it's a functional assessment, it's looking at people who have symptoms consistent with mercury poisoning, and we're looking at a special population. So there's no way of knowing, I don't think, what the right number is. Interestingly, mercury affects people differently. So you and I could eat the same number of fish and have different symptoms. So the fortunate people are those who do not have symptoms, but when there's money involved, then the pension is certainly desirable in communities with high unemployment.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Jody.
Margaret Wanlon, Chair of the Mercury Compensation Board. Steve Fobister held a hunger strike this summer to draw attention to his concerns about the way the board and the government is responding to ongoing health concerns. Fobister is suffering some of the most extreme effects of mercury poisoning. He struggles to walk, eat, swallow, and speak. Fobister attended the meetings in Grassy, talked with Jody Porter as well. He started by describing his diagnosis from more than a decade ago.
Then the mercury doctor saw me. He said it's Kennedy disease is what he would phrase it. But it's a long-term, it's the same thing as, it's an ALS, like Lou Gehrig's, but it just, you know, break down, you know, not as fast as Lou Gehrig's, but a long, prolonged period. It's a very depressing state to be in, and you can't even button your shirts, tie your shoes anymore, put on your shoes. You become really hopeless. That's what it is, and the constant pain and swallowing becomes very difficult, and it doesn't really affect your mind the way you think, but mentally, it gets to you. You know, that's the thing. It's a sad world.
When we talked to the chair of the Mercury Compensation Board, she said about 27% of people who apply for compensation receive it. So less than half, far less than half. And one of the things she said was that, you know, in a community where there's so much unemployment, you have to be careful about why people are seeking money. What do you think about that?
I don't think so, because, you know, if people are, have earned the right to be compensated, then they should be compensated. You know, if not with money, but at least, you know, some mechanism would be there to assist people. Say, we lost unemployment forever, let's just face that. How are they going to deal with that? You know, we can't fish anymore, never mind, alone can we eat fish. In our traditional way of life, like, trapping is very minimal. Can't live off the land anymore because, you know, the whole environment is, you know, it's affected. So if you don't have a healthy environment, you're not going to get healthy people. So I don't know what their logic thinking is in this regard. Well, if it's not going to happen the way we think we're, then there's no sense of them being around. For all I care, they can just be dismantled because they're not serving a purpose for anything or for anybody. And that's pretty, taking a big, tough stand on that, then we'll deal with it on the legal basis. Because where they are now, they're not catering, they're not helping, other than themselves to sit and, you know, collect their honorariums and not looking after the people. That doesn't impress me at all.
Thank you for doing this with us.
Thank you.
Steve Fobister, former chief at Grassy Narrows First Nation. Now, more on this story tonight on the National. By the way, if you go to our website, cbc.ca/Thunder Bay, you'll see the commentary there. You'll see the lots of photographs in the community. Jody was there taking some great pictures. CBC's medical sciences reporter, Kelly Crow, was also as part of that trip, and she's got some analysis there as well. So again, cbc.ca/Thunder Bay.